It is good to be in the house of the Lord, and I just wanted to say a quick prayer. We have a lot of people that are on vacation this weekend or traveling. Karen is in Japan. Joni is down in L.A. Rose and Randy are at the beach with their family, and then Dawn and Richard are home. The kids aren't feeling well, so I just want to cover those that are going. Oh, and my dad and my son. That would be good. They're on a hunting trip. They're on their way home, so let's just really quickly just lift them all up in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much that you sent your word, Father, and you healed them first. And I thank you for healing Dawn and Richard's family, Lord. We just come against the sicknesses that have tried to come against them, and we just say in Jesus' name they are healed and healthy and whole, able to be back here again next week. We thank you, Father, for those that are traveling, whether they're coming home or going. I think most of them are coming home this weekend. Father, we just thank you that you command your angels concerning them to lift them up that not even their foot would stumble, that you are protecting them by the power of your name. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you that every flight that needs to be in order is going to be in order. We thank you for protecting every plane, every car, every vehicle that they're traveling in, even for Karen, for trains. We thank you, Lord, they're going to run properly, that they're going to arrive home safely, and that they're going to be refreshed and renewed, and we're going to come together next week for an awesome, powerful, filled week. We just pray in advance for the women's conference, God. We just thank you for this vision that you have given us as a church, and we just pray, Lord, in advance that people are going to be transformed, as the name of the conference, transformed, Lord. Literally, they're going to become the women that you intended for them to be in full. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for an anointing on that conference. Whoever's supposed to be there, they will be there in Jesus' name. And we just praise you and we thank you for all these things. And everyone said, amen. Whoo! Sometimes you just got to pray. Amen. So we're continuing on with our journey with Jesus. I really felt like the Lord wanted us to go through every verse that Jesus talked about money. And you'll see today, they're going to be like, wait a minute, is he talking about money? But he does mention money, so I'm going through every verse where he talks about money, amen? So if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. It's a chunk of scripture again, so I promise I'll be short on the teaching part, but I feel like that we need to understand the whole context here. And as we're journeying with Jesus, we're taking the passage of scriptures that he is talking about money, and we're seeing what he says about them. And it says in verse 36, now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Quick side note, in those days, they didn't sit in chairs around tables. In this passage of scripture, they would sit on their knees and kind of lean to the side. So his feet are behind him. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. Alabaster jar was a type of clay that was designed and formed so that it would keep whatever oil was inside it pure. It wouldn't lose its purity being inside this vessel. You could see where wood or something else might lose part of its purity because it would saturate. This jar was not. It was made to keep oils in their purest form, okay? So, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. Then the Pharisee who invited him saw this, and he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I love this. I suppose, he doesn't just say it right out. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who forgives sins? Now listen to this. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. I love this passage of scripture. But the thing we're going to focus in on the most of here is the part where he talks about money. So I want to read that to you again. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay it back. So he canceled both their debts. So powerful, powerful illustration. Jesus is using a money context to explain a sin context. And so the powerful thing is he still mentions money. Even though it's a parable, he's still talking about money. How many people in here are in debt? You don't have to raise your hands. Probably most of us are. If you own a home, you're in debt, right? So if you own a car, if it's not paid off, that's debt. Okay? Jesus said, whether it's small or large, what did he say that the moneylender did? Canceled the debt. He canceled their debts. Amen? He canceled their debts. I love this part, though. Up to this point, Jesus has not directly spoken to the woman until the last verse in verse 50, and he says to her, your faith has saved you. Her faith has saved her. I'm here to tell you today, your faith can save you. Your faith can cancel your debts. Amen? Amen. And I look at this passage of scripture, and there's so many things that you could teach on her weeping and what Jesus said to the Pharisee, because he came into his home, and in those days they wore sandals or kind of like a sandal, so there's a lot of dirt. Their feet were dirty. It was normally the custom that they put some kind of liquid for you to wash your feet before you reclined at the table, because if you don't wash your feet and you recline at the table, someone is likely to be sitting next to you, and there can be an odor, right? And you're eating. And that was not offered to Jesus. Generally, there was a greeting of a kiss, not in a weird way, but that was the cultural context. He was not given a kiss by this man. So we see when he walked into his home, it doesn't say was Jesus there to be judged, but you can kind of tell by the attitude of his Pharisee, he thought he was better than everybody else. He thought he was better than everybody else. And this woman comes in, and she comes in, and she's weeping. So there's a sign of repentance. She realizes in whose presence she is. She heard Jesus was in town at this Pharisee's house. She'd already heard about him. She already knew who he was and what he was there to do. And she had a great amount of debt that she was carrying. And it says she comes in, and she begins weeping and wiping his feet with her hair. In those days for prostitution, your hair was a symbol of prostitution. That's how men knew what to look for. Your hair was unbound, generally done in a certain way. She took the thing that signified her debt, and she used that to wipe his feet. She was taking the thing that made her different and said, here, let me wipe your feet with it. She cleaned his feet with her hair. And then it says that she began kissing his feet. A lot of times we don't quite grasp the full concept unless we know what Jewish tradition or teaching is. This was the sign of the utmost respect and reverence that you could have. Do you see the attitude of her heart? She knows it's her fault. She knows she got herself into this place. How many of us sitting in this room know we got ourselves in the place where we are with our debt? Stop hiding from Jesus. Stop having a Pharisee mentality of, I can take care of this myself. I don't need to go through all this belittling. It wasn't belittling. She was reverencing. She was respecting because she understood this man was the key to everything in her life. And then it says that she took the oil and she poured it on his feet. This oil, they say, is similar to the oil that was poured on his head before he went into the Passover week for his crucifixion. It was not a commonplace oil. It was expensive. She took what she had and she sacrificed it. This oil, they said, would have been done and used for something in her trade. And yet she chose to take that, her livelihood, and pour it on his feet. Another sign of respect and reverence. Do you see the picture? It's a beautiful picture. when I read it yesterday, I literally was moved to tears again. It's like, wow, Lord, such an amazing attitude this woman had. I want her attitude. That when I come to Jesus, it's not, Lord, I know how to take care of this. I'm down on the ground. I'm in reverence. I'm in awe. I'm worshiping. What does it say about her? Jesus says, because she loved much. She loved much. When you love your Heavenly Father, you know you can boldly approach His throne of grace with confidence. You don't have to be worried. There's no shame in the presence of God. There might be conviction. That's the Holy Spirit telling us, well, don't make that choice, make this choice. But there's no shame. So if you have shame, that is not from your Heavenly Father. If anyone should have had shame in this whole thing, who would it have been? The woman who had the courage to come into a room full of men, put aside what everybody else thought of her, what everybody else was doing. She came in and she sought the one man who could change everything. Her faith. It's just like, it reminds me of the story of the woman with the issue of blood, who had faith, if I could just touch his garment. This woman was, if I could just touch him, I know my debt will be forgiven. Her faith saved her. I'm here to tell you today, your faith will save your debts. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this journey that we are going on through Scripture, seeing where you talked about money or finances, Lord. We just praise you and we thank you for helping us to understand clearly, to see in every one of these passages, your heart about money. Your heart in this passage was you forgave both of them. How awesome, God. Even with his attitude and his not receiving you the way it should have been, you still forgave him. And you still forgive us today. But Lord, let us not miss out on the fullness that you have for us. The fullness that this woman experienced, Lord, when her faith saved her. I want to be saved, Father. I want our finances to be saved. I want my family to be saved. I want my city and my nation to be saved. So, Father, help us to have her attitude of coming in with respect and reverence and honor and giving our best. Giving our best. And, Lord, I pray that if anyone in this room lacks faith that you can cancel their debt, remind them of what you said, Father, about the mustard seed. If you have a mustard seed of faith, you can say to this mountain, be removed, and it's removed. Mustard seed is the smallest seed in a garden. Father, I pray today that you would rise up in each one of us, Father, a huge tree, because that's what the mustard seed turns into, a tree. A huge tree that says, my debt is canceled in Jesus' name. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, for the stories that are going to start coming in of canceled debts. Of canceled debts, Father. Things that are just wiped away so that we're able to give to every good work. That money doesn't go to a lender. It goes to the kingdom of God to do the work of God and to see souls saved. We praise you and we thank you. Bless every seed that's sown today. Multiply it back to the sower 100-fold, Father. And we praise you and we thank you once again. That, Father, you have given us the tools to live debt-free. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
And dismiss any, if there's any kids here today, we have, a lot of the kids are out today, but amen. I think I saw Wade poke his head in. Praise the Lord. Yeah, good. Amen. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. We just praise you and thank you for the glorious gospel that we preach, Lord. We give you the praise for it all, and we're just so grateful to you, Lord, for this time and space to hear and receive of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord. I thought I was moving on this week to a few messages on faith for our nation. Amen. Which we're going to get to that. Praise the Lord. We need to be praying for our president. Amen. I am grateful for Donald Trump. I prayed for President Obama. I prayed for Bill Clinton. Don't matter, right? What's the word say? Pray for your leaders, right? But I'll tell you what, I'm grateful for this man. I don't have to conjure up thankfulness for Trump and Pence. Praise the Lord. But he needs our prayers, right? And our support, and our nation does. Nancy Pelosi, you know, Mr. Roberts, the Supreme Court, Mr. Inslee, Kate Brown, you know, we just pray, and believe God for wonderful things in our nation. Praise the Lord. But I did a couple messages, some of you remember a few weeks back, on our the holidays, the fall holidays that are happening every year in Israel. And just in terms of them as a reminder of one thing, everybody say one thing. A reminder of one thing. Jesus is coming soon. Everybody say, Jesus is coming soon. I'll tell you what, that is good news. Say it again. Jesus is coming soon. Praise God. And we started with Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, which reminds us in God's calendar of the rapture. Don't you know the trumpet's going to sound and we're out of here? Amen? Why? Because Jesus is coming soon. And then it's followed by Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, which reminds us, as we did a message on this, it's online right now, of the Day of the Lord, right? That seven-year period that culminates with nations, not all nations, but many nations trying to wipe Israel off the map. And God says no, right? And that battle is fast as a bolt of lightning, the Bible says, right? And that reminds us that Jesus, you know, obviously came to get us in the rapture. Nobody sees him then. That one, they see him coming. They see him coming. And it says there are nations that will mourn at his coming. You think they're not happy now with stuff that's happening around here? All the voices that are, you know, criticizing righteousness and Christianity, and you know, you think they're not happy now. Wait till he comes himself. Right? And it says that that battle, all those nations that come to wipe Israel off the earth, is going to last as you've seen lightning flash, right? We've seen around this time of the year that quick over. Amen. And I thought we were done there, and I called it two great reminders, not the only two, but there's two. What are they reminding us of? One thing. Jesus is coming soon. But he said, son, look over here. There's something else I want to show you. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, right there. And there's probably a granddad and a grandchild decorating their booth, their Sukkot. Everybody say Sukkot. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths. And in Israel and in Jewish people around the world, and see, there's pieces that they have and there's stuff that we have that really comes together in a lot of ways. A lot of the things that they do, they don't really know why. They say, well, we're supposed to do this. We don't really know why, right? Amen. I shared this before, I was in a Jewish woman's home doing a business service one year on Day of Atonement or Passover. I don't remember what it was. It was one of the holidays. And she's cooking. I know David told me they're fasting, so it probably wasn't that day. It might have been Passover or something. But she's cooking and getting things ready, and she's like, you know what? We don't even know why we do this, but we just do it. One reason. Jesus is coming soon. We're waiting for the Messiah. Your Messiah has come, and he's coming again. Amen. So this is glorious news. Amen. But the Lord wanted us to just hang out here another service and talk about these things. Because it's important for you, the church, to know these things. And I'm reminded of these. There's things I didn't know. And there's more to know. But the main thing is what? Jesus is coming soon. Hallelujah. And these events that are on chronologically in God's calendar, there are spring feasts that have already been fulfilled that represent the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and the fall feasts have not yet been fulfilled. Amen? The Feast of Trumpets, we're all still here, right? You born again, right? So we're all still here, right? So the rapture hasn't happened yet. Amen? And then after the rapture, the Day of Atonement comes, Israel is saved, right? We know that. Well, this is the next thing. Everybody say the next thing. The next thing. Oh, this is wonderful. And if you want to turn somewhere in your Bible, just turn to Revelation 21. But we're going to look at Leviticus 23, Psalm 27, Ezekiel 37. Just, you know, if you have a notes outline there, I apologize if I didn't burn enough out. But if you want one, Elizabeth, thank you, Elizabeth. Raise your hand if you didn't get an outline, we'll get you one, right? So you can follow along, because all the scriptures I just put right in there. Amen. But it starts right here with Leviticus 23, 34 through 36. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. Say, Feast of Tabernacles. For 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. Everybody say, holy convocation. Don't you know that's what the rapture is? That's what church is, right? Oh, we're a holy gathering. But holy doesn't mean boring. Serious. Right? No. Is anybody in heaven right now, you think they're bored? Oh, gee, eternity? Man. No. They're having the time of their eternal life right now. And they're waiting for you, and they're preparing for your arrival. Amen. Isn't that glorious? Praise the Lord. A holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. Now, one of the words I like in the notes there that ties in with the word tabernacle is the word habitation. Somebody say habitation. Amen. This is symbolic of the fact, the truth, that God wants to dwell with his family. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? Why did God create people? To have a family. And the devil, of course, came in and botched it up. No surprise to God, right? You know, it's not like God walked in and went, oh, what? Right? But that was God's desire. He's the father, right? He wants children. He doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have nieces and nephews. He doesn't have cousins. He has sons and daughters. One day I was thanking God for my kids. I said, Lord, thank you for my beautiful kids. And he said, well, thank you for giving me children. And I thought, well, that sounds weird. And I started thinking about it. I was like, yeah, that's what you do when you have kids. You're giving God more kids. They're his sons and daughters. My son Luke, my son Lane, my daughters Lacey and Lindsay are his sons and daughters, not his grandsons. Or by this time, great, 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 great. What does great, great, great symbolize? Distance. There is no distance. God destroyed, the blood of Jesus destroyed the distance between you and God. So the world, even in church sometimes, we preach the distance between you and God. That's incorrect. That's incorrect. The blood of Jesus removed the difference. In fact, one of the words I believe for Christ is he's the one who makes up the difference. Don't you know there was nothing I could do to make up the difference between me and the Lord? Nothing. Somebody say nothing. Well, there is one thing. Put your faith in him. Shelley was teaching about faith. Put your faith in the Lord, in the finished work of the cross. And there is no distance. Somebody say no distance. Yeah, but I sinned. I messed up. Yeah, but I got this and I got that. Receive communion over that issue that you think is between you and him, and just praise him. Laugh. This festival is about laughter. That's the joy. Somebody say the joy. It's not about how you construct your booth and how you put things together and how you come to God. It's about laughter, joy, fellowship, being with your Father. Amen? And that's what we're going to see here. So habitation. Say habitation. God wants to live with you. He wants you to live with him. Amen? No interruptions. He's done with interruptions. That's what Sukkot reminds us of. No more interruptions. It's over, man. Aren't you glad there's a day coming when it's over? No more death, no more sickness, no more antichrist junk on the earth. No, it's over. I'm talking here on this planet. Amen. So the significance of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Sukkot, Feast of Booths, is this. And I got a lot of this I got from the website TorahTots.com. Sometimes when you're learning new things about something, you start with what the children are learning. Amen. And I love it. We used to teach children and children's ministry some of these things. For those of you who don't know, I was a children's pastor for many years. So you're God's children, so I'm still a children's pastor, right? Amen, right? So anyway, they begin with this. What a change it is. This is a quote from their website. What a change it is. And they're talking about the change from Day of Atonement to Sukkot. Day of Atonement, serious business, man. Blood, eagles gathering. Sister Billy Brim was teaching about the season of the fall. It's the time when eagles and birds of prey are migrating through Israel. How convenient. All these thousands and thousands of soldiers that are coming to attack Israel are going to be meat on their table. Amazing. God is so detailed oriented, right? Amen. So, but they say this, what a change it is. We go from the most solemn day of the year to one of the most joyous times. Glory to God. The most joyous time of the year. This reminds us the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. God is not up there angry at people, frowning, right? He is the joy. Joy. I think Kenneth Copeland say it this way, God never had a serious thought before sin existed. And he dealt with sin, didn't he? The blood separates you from the power of sin, from the power of the curse, and the name of Jesus gives you access to the blessing of God. Amen. The blood, think about a childbirth. The blood separates that child from the womb, right? The blood separated you from your sins, from the curse of this planet, and now you have the name above all names. You've been born again into a new family. Glory to God. That's what being born again is all about. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it says this, it's the time of our gladness. Hallelujah. Somebody make a glad sound. Hallelujah. The time of our gladness. Sukkot means booths, and refers to the temporary dwellings God's people dwelt in as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. They must have four walls, be large enough to dwell in. And I was going through Google Images last night, and man, people get creative with their booth, right? And it's also harvest season, so they'll use fruit and vegetables and colorful things, and they're just having a good time out there with their families, right? The Jewish folks, right? Amen. And it must have four walls, be large enough to dwell in, and the roof must be made of, listen to this, material grown from the earth, cut off from the earth, and not susceptible to contamination. Things like tree branches, bamboo reeds, corn stalks, and sticks. One of our favorite things to do in the fall is to do the Fruit Loop, where you drive around. If you don't know, you're new to the area, just Google the Fruit Loop. It's about a 60-minute loop around Hood River, Oregon, and you go through all the farms, and they have apples and pears and cinnamon rolls and pie. I mean, awesome, but it's all about harvest. It's harvest time. Somebody say it's harvest time. Amen. And God is coming back, and don't you know, Jesus came to die for material grown from the earth. Somebody say that's me, right? And he's come to cut off the curse. Cut the curse off from the earth. Somebody say, I'm starting to get this. When this happens, and it has happened in the spirit, but there's a day coming where the curse will officially be cut off from the earth. When God says, hello. Remember Tim Allen? Honey, I'm home. I'm back to get what's mine. Sukkot, I believe I could say it this way. Sukkot is God the Father's harvest time. He has sown his son into the earth. He's sown his church into the earth. He drew them out of the earth. And now let's go get everybody else that's ready. Amen. Let's just take the earth back. Hallelujah. That's why I shared a couple weeks ago, that's why we like cowboy movies. That's why I love John Wayne. That's why I like Star Wars. Because it's good versus evil and good winning. Amen. The man in the white hat on the white horse is coming into town with a posse. And the town has been taken over by the dude in the black hat and the black, you know, outfit and the horns and the, right? And we're coming to kick him out and shut him down. And the church, we do that in the spirit all the time, right? We don't have to just, this is where the church needs to grow up a little bit, not you guys. You know, you're hearing these things. But as the church, and I need to hear this too, we need to grow up a little bit in our faith and start realizing, you know what? I don't have to just deal with whatever the devil wants to do. I take authority over him in the name of Jesus. Whether it's in the realm of health or in the realm of our nation or, you know, whatever it is. We don't stand for his junk. We're God's representatives on this planet. We are deputized and authorized to remind him his day's coming. And in my town, it's now. Amen? Praise the Lord. In your family, it's now. Hallelujah. You put your foot down in faith. You find this, where the scripture is, and you say, here's the bullet in my shotgun. Out, Mr. Devil. And I mean now. Hallelujah. Glory to God, right? Well, let's continue on this. Look at this. Not susceptible to contamination. Don't you know, under the blood with the name of Jesus, and especially when this thing happens, all contamination of sin, is the residue of it, is removed from the earth. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God, right? And they use tree branches, bamboo reeds, corn stalk sticks. Roofing material is placed sparsely enough so the stars can be seen. And that's the picture that it took me a long time, but I found this one. I like it because you can see the roof has gaps in it, so you can look at the sky at night. He's coming. Is he coming? That's a satellite. Is he coming? And it's the father figure and the child together. Somebody say together. This is a together thing. You and God, you and your family. Amen. So the roofing material is placed sparsely enough so the stars can be seen. Setting the Sukkot, and the Sukkot again is the booth itself, is a time of fun. Somebody say fun. This is fun. Amen. And even preparing, they even prepare for, quote, biblical guests. Are you getting it? Now them in the Jewish realm are thinking, Abraham, they'll play, is Abraham here? Is David coming to the booth? Guess what? God is coming to the planet. It's a time of reminding ourselves, biblical guests are coming. Amen. Isn't this glorious? Hallelujah. And a biblical guest might be your grandfather. I'm looking forward to seeing him, both of my grandfathers, as much as anybody, and grandmothers, and David, and, you know, Jesus, Moses, right? Abraham Lincoln, whoever you can think of. Bible heroes, heroes of the faith, people of your own. Somebody say they're coming. And the cool thing is, church, we're going to be on one side of this or the other. You might be the biblical guest, if you think about that. If the Lord hangs on a little longer and we go through the grave, then you'll be one of the ones, you'll show up with God. Hey, right? Amen. Now that we'll be, either, you know, again, the rapture is involved. There's just so many cool things to think about, but it's all about one thing. Say one thing. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Glory to God. Here we go. So biblical vests invited to honor us by visiting our Sukkot. Amen. The Sukkot is to be lived in. Somebody say lived in. See, God is coming to live with you. And that's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are coming to make our home in you. So as a born-again believer, he's living on the inside of you. You don't have to wait for this event. Amen. But this event, somebody say, this event is coming. Amen. The Sukkot is to be lived in. He's coming to live with his people. This has been God's plan since the Garden of Eden, to live with his people. He's not mad at his people. This is only getting better. This is going to even get better. Watch this. To be a time of rejoicing before the Lord. Somebody make a rejoicing sound. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rejoicing before the Lord. And they say this, God is everywhere. Don't you know, when this happens, the world is going to be like, whoa, God is everywhere. He showed up. His people are all over the planet. Where'd sickness go? Where'd disease go? God is everywhere. Don't you love it? Amen? Praise the Lord. God invites his people in as hosts. Listen to that. Now, this is, again, from Jewish tradition here. A time where God invites you to come to his place. Hallelujah. That sounds like the Bible to me. That sounds like the Bible I know. But listen, this even gets better. High-spirited singing and dancing, children with their father. The father himself is going to party hard with his kids. That's why I love this picture. This is an image of God the Father rejoicing and dancing and celebrating with his family. Why? Because it's over. I'm here. I'm back. The planet is ours. My family is all together finally. Glory to God. And God the Father is not just going to be, sometimes you get this picture of God like he's all reserved and, go ahead, Jesus, have fun. But I still got some problems with these people. Especially that one. No. He's going to rejoice and party and dance with his family. Isn't that great? And it's about the harvest time. Harvest time is here. God is coming to get what's his. His people. His people. He got us in the rapture, the church, right? He came down and saved Israel, and now he's bringing all his people that were estranged from him all together. And because there will be people on this planet. I mean, there's more to teach on this in terms of end times. That's not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is one thing. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. But there will be people on this planet during that tribulation period that did not take the mark of the beast, that did not join the Antichrist. Either they were martyred or they hid for their lives. And that's the time where God separates the sheep from the goats, collects his, and there will still be other people. You know, I don't understand completely at all, but there's going to be a whole lot of people that are living on this planet. You know, maybe it's like this. I'm just going to throw this out there, okay? Elections. There are people that are totally on board with God, people that are totally on board with the devil, and people that don't know which side to join. There's going to be people like that on the planet during that time. They're not going to be saved, and they're not going to be committed to the devil. And there are going to be generations upon over a 1,000-year period of people growing up on this planet during that time of the reign of Christ. Amen? But we don't need to get into all the details right there. The purpose of this message is one thing. Jesus is coming soon. Amen? But it's going to be like, man, God is everywhere. His glorified ones are everywhere. His kids are everywhere. Hallelujah. Right now, it seems like sin is everywhere. Storms and disasters and diseases and strife is everywhere. No, there's going to come a day. Somebody say there's coming a day where God is everywhere on this planet. Hallelujah. I just love the picture of him rejoicing with his family. The day is coming. Revelation 21, if you had it there, just you can spend your own time reading because that whole chapter goes into what God's booth is going to look like because he's bringing his booth. It's called the New Jerusalem. It's called a city like 1,400 miles square. Landing on planet Earth in Israel. And he's going to tell his people, come on over. Come on in. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? But here's where it says it. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle. Say the tabernacle, right? The tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The day is coming. The day is coming. And Psalm 27:6 says it this way. And now, somebody say now, my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. This is a rejoicing and praising and celebrating. This is the thing I want us to get, church. We don't have to wait till that day to celebrate and to praise and to thank and to fellowship with our Father. The Word of God says you and I, right now, somebody say right now, if you're born again, right now you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. That's positionally where you are spiritually, amen? So you don't have to wait, like again, distance is between us. This could be hundreds of years away. Well, I don't know, that probably not that long, right? And it's coming. What's the one thing again? Jesus is coming soon, right? But you don't have to wait till that day to fellowship with your Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. So how do I fellowship with my Father? Well, that's maybe another sermon, but you're doing it right now. Remember that old Palm Olive commercial? You're soaking in it. Right? You just fellowship with your Father. You talk with him. How do you fellowship with each other? You talk to each other. You talk with your Father. You read and study his word. You worship. Somebody say this isn't rocket science, okay? God did not make this complicated. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You just come into your spirit where he dwells, because he dwells inside of you. Now, many would take a statement like that and say, see, there you said it. You are God. No, I didn't say that. I said God lives on the inside of you. I didn't say you're God, like many Word of Faith critics would say. That's not true. Nobody that I listen to is saying that. But he lives and dwells and resides on the inside of you. So don't let anybody, I don't care who they are, how many PhDs they have or how close of a family member that, don't let anybody talk you out of your closeness and your intimacy with your Father because of their unbelief issues. Because how they were thought, not how they were taught, how they were thought. No, you come to your daddy and you dwell with him. Come inside your spirit. Here's what the Holy Ghost is saying to us right now. Your spirit is your Sukkot today. Your spirit is, now we have a place here, right? That we praise God for it. But we're going to leave this place in about, you know, an hour or so. We're going to leave this place. Does that mean you left God? No. Somebody say, I am the church. I am the Sukkot that my Father dwells in. He wants to meet with me regularly in that intimate time. Praise the Lord. Last fall, I think it was, I did some prayer teaching about how Jesus says when you actually come inward to spend time with him, you're like with him in your, you know, I imagine like a beautiful log cabin with a fire, and I'm hanging out with God, and we're learning the word, studying the word together, praying, interceding. I'm fellowshipping with my Father, but here's the thing. He's not out there somewhere. He is, praise God, but I'm talking about as a believer, he's on the inside of you. You don't have to go looking for your miracle farther than the nose on your face because he's right on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that great? That's awesome. Amen. So therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. Laugh a lot. Laugh. Somebody just go, ha, 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 ha. We win. I heard a report about somebody with a cancer thing the other day, a close friend of mine, a family member of mine. And this came out of my mouth because he's not probably there spiritually right now. And I said, well, brother, we win. We win. Somebody say, we win. We win. Devil, guess what? We win. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. And then Ezekiel 37, 27 says this, my tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. And see, that's spoken many, 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 somebody say many, 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 many years before this happens. Prophecy. And just in closing, before we pray, I remember a story that I believe it was Pastor Greg over at Eagle Mountain was sharing. I love his teaching. He brings stuff that I have never thought of before. He was talking about the transfiguration when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the hill, and Jesus became transfigured in front of them. His clothes were gleaming white, and Moses and who was it? Ezekiel? Elijah? Elijah. Yeah, appeared, and Peter didn't know what to say, and he's like, let me build you three tabernacles. Right? And then he said, the Father spoke. And what did the Father say? This is my Son. Hear him. And what Pastor Greg brought this. He didn't say, listen to Moses, who represents the law. He didn't say, listen to Ezekiel, who is the prophets. He said, listen to my Son. In other words, Jesus fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophets. He fulfilled the Old Testament requirements. So simply, what is the one thing to remember today? Jesus is coming soon. Amen? So somebody say, I'm in a tabernacle with Jesus. Now Moses may stop by. You know, Elijah may stop in. But I'm going to fellowship with God. Somebody say, every day. Every day. All the time, every day. Praying in the Spirit, praying with your understanding, praising, worshiping, rejoicing before Him. We got to stir ourselves up to do these things, you know. The joy thing, you know, in this world, it's full of strife. And that's why I have to remind myself in my day job to turn off the sports radio. I enjoy sports. But the radio oftentimes just goes into who's mad at who and the strife and all this kind of stuff. It's like, and then it starts getting on me. And I start thinking judgmentally and critically. It's like, you know what, son? Unplug from that and turn on, you know, the word. Praise God for smartphones nowadays. I had a CD player for years. Now my vehicle doesn't even have a CD player. I've got CDs on my shelf that I have never used in a long time because I just don't have it. I'm going to get one. I'm going to, you know, do that too. But praise God for the smart devices now that you can just log on to something and have the word instantly playing in your car, in your ear. Somebody say, turn off the trash and turn on the truth. Fellowship with your Father more and more and more and more. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Go ahead and stand up on your feet and let's just give God some praise. Just thank Him and praise Him today. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We glorify You. We welcome You. We're going to live our lives, Lord, in Your presence. We're going to live our lives tabernacling and hanging out with and living with You. And we give You the praise, Lord. God, and I thank You, Lord, for just solidifying in us the image of the Father rejoicing and praising and just dancing and twirling and having fun with His family. And we'll give You all the praise and all the glory for all these things that You're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name. And happy Feast of Tabernacles, Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day, everybody. There are refreshments out there, and hang out and tabernacle for a bit. Amen.